So it did finally happen, as I mentioned to John this morning, but Rupert doesn't know. And you know the process. I give John three topics, and he picks his favorite amongst them. And he picked one, and because I was getting ahead of him, because I want to stay ahead, right? And I went to do some research. I figured, well, I got an hour and a half drive home, or an hour and 40-minute drive home. I'll just throw on a podcast or two about this topic. And lo and behold, I iTunes search for this topic. And what podcast comes up first having covered this topic?
Joe Rogan?
Ours.
Oh.
Oh. So, admittedly, it was 80-some episodes ago.
Yeah.
But still...
What episode was it?
We could tell. 83, Fidel Castro, because we're not covering Castro again. But yeah, we had settled on Castro. I was all ready to listen to some podcasts during the drive, do some research, and...
No.
Damn
no.
it.
I would have liked to have done that one again. That would be a good one.
We might at some point do Escobar again, because that one's got jacked up sonically, because we had that mic cord go out during the podcast. So we might at some point do Escobar again. But
Escobar revisited.
Yeah, I floored myself. I was like, fuck. Finally, man. You finally did it.
Well, when you send me one of the three, I'm like, we've done that.
Oh, well, no, we haven't. And I've been, without fail, I've been correct the whole time. This time, I was just not in my right head, I guess. But it finally happened. I finally tried to repeat a topic.
And there we go.
That'd be awesome source citing, though. Like, main sources, us.
Yeah. So and that shit was sketchy.
Yeah, right. So the other thing I ran into this weekend that I thought was kind of crazy, you guys know that most of my TV comes from streaming services, so commercials are extremely minimal, right? Well, when
so,
I'm...
So you're like everybody else.
Yeah, pretty much.
Except
yeah, that's what...
I still use Comcast.
Well, yeah, and...
That's cable, that's...
Yeah, and you can forward through the commercials, but...
Yeah, as long as I record them, which I do, I just zip. And they even have it now, so you can just hit the fast-forward button, and it'll automatically fast-forward through the commercials for you and restart on the show.
Yeah, it's fancy as shit. I don't have any of it. I don't know how to use it. There's all kinds. There's like nine remotes.
That's interesting because like I've actually wondered why. Like sometimes I'm watching some shows, and you know it's an episode and it's like modern era, so everybody's doing streaming. There's no air TV, but then the screen goes black and then comes back, and I'm like, why is this spaced for commercials? And it's like, yeah, I guess because this was maybe originally shown on cable or something.
Right. It was originally shown on a TV show or something.
I hadn't,
same thing happens with podcasts.
I hadn't
like they
thought
just say, and now for some ads. And it's because that was originally streamed on or put out on a record or on a radio station on a record station. And now that you're listening to it as an actual podcast, the ad break is still there. It just doesn't happen, or it does happen and it's filled with innocuous crap. But anyhow, so I was watching some commercials because I was down at the ranch and we watch TV a lot there. And they have the cable thing. So I don't know, we're watching fucking Jeopardy or some shit. And this commercial comes on. And it's one of those medication commercials. We all in America know these things. I don't know if they have them other places.
If you suffer from anal bleeding, go see a doctor.
Well, yeah, exactly. And there's all the warnings and things. I don't remember what the drug is for. I don't remember what it was called.
Tapeworms?
I don't really care. Possibly. That
possibly
was a clever little
worms,
thing, but you can't take it if you're doing the tapeworm diet plan.
Okay.
So this tapeworm medication, the very first disclaimer was, do not take this drug if you're allergic to its ingredients. And I fell apart. I couldn't, like, okay, so is it the chalk that they use to compress the tablet in, or is it the drug? Because that's the two ingredients, right? So you're taking, how do you know if you're allergic to this drug, if it's new and you've never taken it, and do they have specialized allergy tests for this fucking thing? Like, it just seemed like this crazy medical loop I couldn't get my head through. Can you guys have, do you guys have any theories on why, like, what
would maybe... Any of the derivatives?
Yeah, I mean, you could be allergic to steroids, and there's 20 zillion medications that use steroids.
You're allergic to acetaminophen. If there's acetaminophen in it, which a lot of times they'll use acetaminophen as a fever reducer in these things.
Oh, you're saying so maybe an add-on ingredient.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're allergic to any of these ingredients, I mean, there's more than just one thing in there.
I just had a hard
time
believing.
So if you're allergic to acetaminophen, if you've got any kind of, people with, some severe internal... liver crap.
I mean, there's a lot of things like that where
Where it's multiple drugs can come. I mean,
No. Where like the, this,
my,
this
immediate thought was, you got to be fucking kidding me. No, but if we're you're like, allergic to this medication, don't take this medication.
Well, we're, no,
seems like ridiculous.
Where this medication is part of a spectrum of medications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like steroids, like cortisones, which mm-hmm. is a steroid, I guess. And you know you're allergic to these, then don't take this. Yeah, that's totally like.
I was just floored.
Any of the NSAIDs, stuff like anything like that.
Yeah.
I couldn't. Like, the state of medical technology and the advertising of said medical technology.
Oh, come on. They're still sticking a finger up your butt, okay?
Yeah.
You know, I understand that. It's nice to. Wow, pay somebody for it. I feel dirty.
Yeah, so speaking about medical, is Sanders out? I think he's out.
I think if he's not out, he should be.
Yeah, you know, I think he's done.
Like, you need to hand your followers over to somebody who might be able to actually get the fucking nomination and get the job done. I kind of hope he is.
Yeah, I think.
No offense to him.
Yeah.
I kind of like the crazy, but.
I don't know. I thought his crazy went a little bit off the rails this go-round because he seemed more angry man
Gone more down. Well, he's still pissed about what happened last time.
He's just all angry now. Every time he speaks in those debates, he's just like red-faced and yelling. And like, if he's not yelling at somebody, he's usually not yelling at somebody. He's yelling about some state of affairs. Yeah.
He's beat red and yelling. We wonder why he had a heart attack.
I know. It's crazy.
Any time you're almost 80 years old and you have a heart attack, prior to going into a presidency or an elected leadership position, prime minister or wherever you're from, I think you should just fucking bow out because that's a bad sign coming.
He better have a... His vice president better be a little bit more capable. Well, really capable.
What we need is
he'd die in office.
A Biden and Bernie ticket, and then we've got two almost 80-year-old people trying to run the fucking country. But anyway,
there was a lot of theories that Tulsi Gabbard was vying for a vice presidential slot, and that's why she was taking out Biden all the time, and that was her new role in the debates, was take out Biden because somebody. Maybe Bernie, because you can't really see Warren and you can't see Warren and Gabbard really together. But
I can't
Bernie
see
and
Warren
Gabbard,
and anybody together. Which
I don't see. Together. I don't see Warren and anybody together.
Yeah. All right. So this is not a political podcast. Let's move along, shall we? Ladies and gentlemen, we are Ruined Heroes, a weekly free and self-produced podcast.
Very self-produced, very free, remember that.
Yeah, bills are coming up. Wherein the three of us irreverently discuss a topic of societal renown. I, Tyler, study like a person bent on stopping the devil. John.
I'm going to go home and watch a Russ Meyer movie.
And Rupert.
I'm pumped from weed whacking.
Yeah. It up.
I'm pumped up.
So please subscribe.
Doing the two-stroke. I am the two-stroke man.
Please subscribe and leave.
That's what the women say.
The two-stroke bloke.
I think,
two-stroke bloke.
Yeah. All right, just pick up my beer and you guys stop talking. Great. Yeah. Good job, guys. Yes. Thanks. Way to keep you guys sober. Anyway, please subscribe and leave good ratings and reviews on whatever podcast feed you get us through. To interact with us, we are ruinedheroespod@gmail.com, as well as easily found on Facebook and Twitter. If you would like to help with the cost of the show, you can, again I say, bills are coming up. You can subscribe at patreon.com/ruinedheroes and get extra content for just $1 a month. Some of those have been kind of heavy talks lately. It's been interesting.
Yeah.
There are links to that in the show notes, as well as a link to our website, ruinedheroes.com, where you can get all of our back episodes. So if you don't know, there's like 60-some episodes that are not showing up on your podcast feed. You're going to have to get them directly from our site.
Wait, why don't they show up on the podcast?
Because our podcast feed only puts out 100 things on our RSS feed and then buries the rest on our website.
Yes.
Censorship.
We've discussed this, and we decided we weren't going to pay for something else. Another
service. Oh, wait, you mean you could pay more and they'd have all of them?
We could get a different service to supply our RSS feed, and they'd have all of them on the iTunes or the Stitcher or whatever. But we all decided to, like, screw it. What's falling off? The old shitty noise issue ones. So
history is what's falling off.
It is history.
History
but
is still available on our website.
Yeah, you just have to go directly to our website.
And you can listen directly from there.
Yeah. Well, I think if you're that into us that 100 episodes isn't going to do it for you, you probably know about websites.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're going to dig deeper.
And you're probably willing to put through our sound issues in the first 20, 30, 50. 90. I don't know how many episodes. Anyhow.
A lot.
Anyhow, thank you to those of you who do give to us. We do appreciate it. It does help. So, Hentro.
Is this a good topic?
No. I think you're going to like this one a lot.
Good.
No, it's not a good topic, but I think you're going to like it a lot.
Okay. Well, those two often go hand in hand. Okay. Just.
We were shooting for another good topic for you by doing Castor next week, but...
I know.
But no.
That's so funny. It's still cracking me up.
It's still cracking me up, but I discovered that 2 days ago. Anyhow, Pintro. This is said by the topic. Government, like a dead fish, stinks more at the head.
Oh, man. Are we doing Tom Jefferson?
This is said by Kansas Governor William Stanley. You are a woman, but a woman must know a woman's place. They can't come in here and raise this kind of disturbance.
Oh, good Lord. Are we talking about Bella Abzug?
Nope.
You've put me in here a cub, but I will come out roaring like a lion, and I will make all hell howl.
Oh man.
There's a band named after this person that you've brought up a number of times.
Fuck. I want all hellions to quit puffing that hell fume in God's clean air.
Well... And a callback to Russ Meyer films.
Oh. Shit.
I'll give you a hint.
The most popular or well-known picture.
Lizzie Borden and her were soul sisters.
Oh, shit. That's nicely done.
Okay.
So, are we doing Terra Satana?
No, but you're moving in the right direction, kind of. The most commonly known picture of this person is of them holding a Bible in one hand and a hatchet in the other.
Well,
come on, band name. Russ
we did Meyer. Molly Hatchet already.
We didn't do Molly Hatchet. We did Lizzie Borden.
Oh.
Now, not that I'm one to speak after this week's
episode. All right, fine.
How about Carrie A. Nation?
Oh!
God, we.
I thought we had done Carrie Nation. No. Did we just do Prohibition?
Yeah. Sort of. We did.
No, we've touched on Prohibition because we did gin and we did beer, and so it's come up a couple of times. But
okay.
We didn't do Prohibition as its own yet. Main sources are historicmissourians.shsmo.org, KHS, which is the Kansapedia,
Schmoke.
And thoughtco.com articles. Those were my main. Yeah.
Schmoes. Missouri.
Schmoes.
Schmoes.
Anyhow, those are my main sources. There'll be links in the show notes. So, born Carrie Amelia Moore, November 25th, 1846, to parents George Moore, a farmer, slave owner, and livestock dealer, and Mary Campbell Moore in Gerard, G-A-R-R-A-R-D, Gerard County,
Wait,
Kentucky.
What? G what?
G-A-R-R-A-R-D. Gerard or Garrard?
Gerard.
Okay, fine. It's a hard G. I don't
like
fucking
the turntable, care. Maybe?
Ooh. Not bad.
That's
okay.
Where I'm going.
Anyhow, it's in
Ooh,
Kentucky.
Vintage.
She was the oldest. She was the oldest of six kids. There were four girls and two boys.
Hey, before we start this.
Yes.
Salute!
Get a drink going.
Yeah.
Because they're going to tell us no later.
Yeah. Yeah, she wasn't a fan about dudes hanging out, drinking together.
Not even a little bit.
No, didn't like it too much.
Carrie's mother, a devout Christian, and, oh, also sources, Criminal Podcast and The Dollop. There's a great dollop on it.
Why don't we just put in the caveat that pretty much everything that you say coming out of your mouth on this is going to have a reference to The Dollop in it, too.
No, not always. It depends on what they cover and what I... Because they do a lot more political shit than we do. Anyhow, Carrie's mother, a devout Christian and daughter of a preacher, believed that her children would benefit if they were raised among and by the slaves. As opposed to, well, her. Yeah. Like, instead of mothering, it's going to be better if we have the slaves raise you.
Oh, you mean nannies.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's not unlike nannies, but they, like, put her in the slave housing. They didn't let her sleep in the house.
Yeah, so pre-K, you know, daycare, basically what, you know, Liz Warren wants.
So, yeah, it's 24-hour daycare.
Yeah, that's what Liz Warren wants, isn't it?
I mean, yes, I see all those arguments, but, like, seriously?
Yeah, that's just 24-hour daycare.
I call it Head Start.
It's cultural building.
It's Head Start.
It builds cultural sensitivity. That's what it does.
Head Start. There you go.
Go live in the building with no plumbing or anything, yeah. So, anyway.
Toughen her up, too.
Off she goes, right.
Well, it's not like her. Any place really had plumbing.
Well, okay. Well, I don't know, 1846?
No.
Outhouses,
yeah,
buddy.
Yeah, probably not.
Yeah.
You're probably right. You're probably
in 1950,
right.
35% of American homes did not have indoor plumbing. That's how new indoor plumbing is the space program of the residential world.
If you had a pump next to your house, you were in good shape.
That was good.
You were in good shape in 1846.
Yeah.
So, her mother, Mary, also believed that she was a lady-in-waiting for Queen Victoria, and later believed she was the Queen of England. Now,
so if at any point in time that you don't believe that mental health is
could be,
genetic.
Oh, we're going to get a little deeper into this. Yeah, right here.
Just remember some of this shit.
Yeah, so later she believed she was the Queen of England, although we're not sure if she believed she was actually Victoria or if she was actually just the Queen. Either way, she was eventually committed, but not before Dad built her a gilded carriage and the whole family had taken to only seeing her upon royal appointment. So you had to, like, ask the Queen for FaceTime, and then she would allow you to come see her. And this is Carrie's mom.
Well, doesn't this make it really easy to not ever have to deal with your crazy parent?
Yeah.
It means you don't ask for an audience.
You're right.
There's good and bad here. But, like, the fact that this didn't work out too well, like, also leads me to realize why this approach in my past relationships has not been a good one.
Correct.
Yeah.
Correct. You don't need permission to see the king. You just need to have a conversation in the fucking kitchen once in a while.
Well, I thought it would work. But
it doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Yeah.
Like, well, at least nobody chased after you with a hatchet.
I've known you to have relationships.
Haven't been in a relationship with them.
Yeah, I've known him to be in relationships where he actually had a title. Like that. But that's just him. It doesn't work. Let's not do that again.
It's really hot in the short term.
It is really hot in the short term. Or even just limited into the bedroom.
In the long term.
It's just problematic.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyhow, Mom's apparently the Queen of England. Two of her siblings were also eventually found to have mental health issues and would be in and out of state hospitals, not to mention her aunt, who was known to climb atop the barn and pretend she was a weather vane. Right?
Yeah.
your aunt is climbing on top of the barn and pretending to be a weather vane.
How many branches did this family tree have?
Oh, dude, three, and everybody hit the mental illness ones on the way down.
Man, this sounds like one of those movies made by those two brothers that do the weird movies.
This family tree is a straight line.
Like, the Warshawski brothers, which aren't brothers any longer?
No, it's what's that?
So, anyhow, not to mention, she also had a cousin who, around age 40, just decided to start walking on all fours and spent the rest of his life doing that. So, there might
be... Maybe he had back pain.
I don't think so. No. I think there might be a genetic predisposition for mental illness. And not just mental illness, like, I don't know what name you want to put it on. I'm going to call it schizophrenia.
I know what I'm thinking of. This sounds like the Royal Tenenbaums.
Oh.
Exactly what this sounds like.
It's fucking berserker.
Yeah.
Like, there were so many members of this family that were, for lack of a better word, nutters.
Challenged?
Yeah. And many of them ended up in facilities at some point in time, if not indefinitely.
Makes me think that well that they had by the house might have had
lead or something.
Yeah.
Mercury.
Or corpses.
Mercury.
I was thinking ergot, but okay.
Ergot grows on grains mainly.
Prolonged.
And like prolonged exposure to LSD, especially microdosing, is supposed to be relatively good for your mental health, not.
Well, yeah, right.
Maybe there was a lot of peyote.
Yeah, right. Yeah, right. It's medicinal. You know, I mean, that crap.
I guess some of that medicinal chicken, please.
Yeah, whenever I start hearing that crap, it's like, oh, so you're doing granny's rheumatism medicine. That's you know, come on. We all know what's going on here.
So either way, well-established history of maybe some struggles.
No, not maybe. No. It seems.
I know it wasn't maybe. I wrote all this shit down. I was like, you've got to be fucking kidding.
If you have the Queen of England and a weather vane living in your house.
Well, and don't forget the four-legged human.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So, The family would move around quite a few times, but eventually ended up in five states before they finally solidified themselves in Missouri a little bit.
Okay, let's just stop you there. Okay, they didn't move. They were run off with pitchforks.
Well, that's what I was just about to say. Yeah, yeah. They ended up in Missouri because Dad had driven them broke with a failed business ventures. He, of course, got into real estate. Mom took to running the family home as a boarding house.
Well, wait a second.
Yeah?
You said there was some part in there in the early part of this broadcast that Mom has the kids being raised by the slaves.
Right.
And so what, they're picking up all their slaves and moving them too?
Yeah, until they eventually had to sell them all because Dad kept running them bankrupt because he was kind of a rainbow chaser.
I don't think you have slaves if you're moving around all over the place. I mean,
they,
you know.
They did for
they
a
might
while.
Have a couple.
I mean, you moved to plantation.
Maybe two.
Plantation,
maybe two. But
and all you need is one outbuilding for slaves. That's what they say in history.
No.
So either way, eventually they ended up in those slaves. So they ended up in Missouri. During this moving around, it seemed that the American Civil War...
Slaveless in Missouri. Ain't that a kick in the head?
So during this moving around time, it seemed that the American Civil War followed the family around, and Carrie, in 1863, ended up working as a nurse for a brief time during the war. She also
Ooh, bad job.
Yeah.
That's a little rough,
nurse during
man.
The Civil War is Ooh. Not... Like, there's a lot of bone saws and tourniquets involved. And
yeah. Well, the good thing is you can get a job as a carpenter when you get out.
Right.
All that use of a saw.
Exactly.
Well, that also really
well, that's about the accuracy they had, too. Like,
oh, yeah.
Within a quarter inch, good.
Yeah, yeah.
You really learn how to use a hatchet, too.
Yeah.
Possibly.
You get real comfortable with that thing in your hand.
I think hatchet, you get more expertise if the zombies invade.
Yes.
Yeah, then you really, yes, you know.
That's where she really could excel.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, if you're a teetotaler and you're good with a hatchet, you are going to be awesome on The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So, but that's not what happened. So, she also kept her Bible and deepened her belief in this puritanical way of life that she'd been kind of taught, apparently, by the slaves because she wasn't being raised by her parents.
Would you want to be raised by them?
Well, no. Mom's a fucking Queen of England.
Exactly. So I, you know, in all honesty, I would be pretty happy that the fucking slaves are raising me. I take a look at the big house and say, I don't want any part of that shit.
Besides, I need an audience just to talk to the fucking bitch. Hell with that.
Man, think about that, though. If you're a slave and the people who own you or run the plantation think they're the Queen of England and a weather vane, that's got to really suck.
That's got to be terrifying, especially if you're like a slave taken from the Congo where they've already dealt with King Leopold and the Belgians. Like, any white person is fucking terrifying at that point in time.
That's got to be both terrifying but also, like, really humiliating. Like, how does this person own me when they're fucking nutters like this? Like that, it's just like, that's so wrong. It is so wrong.
It starts with wrong and gets worse.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a word called wronger.
Yeah. I think it's wronger. It is wrung out wrong. I mean, that is just fucked.
Wrung out wrong.
For what it's worth, her dad was apparently not as brutal as many slave owners were to his slaves. So there's that going for him.
He probably learned a lot of patience.
Well, yeah, if he built a gilded carriage for the Queen
I
of fucking England, his wife.
Think so, if you're, yeah.
If this is the family that you have.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, think about what it takes now to just keep, you know, as the head of household, just to keep your household running.
Totally.
And keep everybody from jumping each other's throats. Because, I mean, if you take a fucking PS4 away from a kid, you're going to have a meltdown.
Everybody goes fucking sideways. Well, and we've all dated crazy women.
However, they didn't try walking on all fours.
And yeah, none of them is crazy.
They just banged her weather vane.
Well, I don't know.
You told her to be one, okay? You said get up there and be a weather vane, and that's the only reason it happened.
I mean...
Yeah, so...
he's like, oh, fond memories. Give me a minute, I'll be back.
I know. Yeah. Like, and a lot of them do involve walking on all fours, so, you know, I can't really... be too,
I don't think you can speak to this.
Well, and I haven't. I've really reserved it mostly for the weather vane, if you've noticed. You know, I've been very parsing in my condemnation of the crazy.
So in 1867, Carrie met Charles Gloyd.
Gloyd?
G-L-O-I-D, Gloyd.
That sounds like an anal tumor. What the kind of name is that?
I know.
It's a goiter.
Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It does goiter. Sound like something you need to have removed.
Yeah, but it's on your anus. Yes. You've got a Gloyd down there, so we're going to have to go in.
We got special wipes and a knife, and we're going to have to be,
Laser treatment, no hot food for 2 weeks.
So
yeah, you don't get spice.
Yeah.
There's no spicing in anything.
No, no, no surly spice.
So she met old Charlie Gloyd. She was 21. He wasn't too much older, a little bit older, but less than a decade older, basically, which will come into play later. He had been a doctor during the war, which meant that he was also good with the bone
saw. Yeah, saw, yeah.
Yep. But she met him while he was boarding at the Moore home. So he had gotten out of the war, and as we had mentioned, Mom was running the house. The Queen of England was running the house as a boarding house, and so this guy was boarding at the home. This is how she met him. He was also a well-known alcoholic.
Well-known
as an alcoholic.
So he was like the Dean Martin of his time?
Well, he had fucking PTSD, man. Can you imagine being a doctor during the goddamn Civil War?
Well,
of course you drank.
She'd be sitting there, while you complain about? I'm a nurse.
Well, but I can see how it goes both ways. It's, you either have you develop this automatic hatred of alcohol, or you dive right the fuck into it, because that shit back there was scary.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and they weren't just doing alcohol. Like, we had laudanum and shit still in. Mm-hmm. Like, that's just alcohol laced with heroin.
Right.
It was like a free-for-all.
Great shit. Good time. Just a nap time all day.
Yeah, but then there was the whole hygiene issue. There was the whole...
We'd already discussed the shitters.
Yeah.
So, though, although her parents knew about his penchant for booze and warned her off, on November 21st, 1867, she married him anyway. It is said that he showed up at the wedding drunk.
Okay, well, now, come on.
That still happens to this.
Most weddings.
Dude, I've officiated weddings while mildly drunk.
Yeah.
Mildly?
Mildly, yeah. We were sober as Turks. That was the words we used.
Because I seem to remember...
Two of us officiated that wedding. Yes, that wedding I wasn't particularly sober either, the one that you were at. Yeah, yeah. In fact, I may have a streak. Like, if you need somebody to drunkenly officiate a wedding, I'm your man.
Well, there's a reason why captains are allowed to marry people.
Has the boat crashed? No. Then the wedding's still good.
Yeah.
So the couple soon divorced.
There's nothing out here. You can't hit it. Iceberg!
Oops. So the couple...
Murph Heselton ever performed a marriage. Got married on the Exxon Valdez. Cool.
Gay marriage wasn't available then. So anyhow, the couple soon divorced.
Might have been in open waters.
I think so. Well, if you're in international waters, you're allowed to marry anything, pretty much.
I'm going to marry that starfish.
Yeah.
Okay.
As long as you're not bringing your puppy with you, you're fine.
If it ain't hurting no one.
This is exactly what those fuckers are afraid of. Like, people are going to marry a starfish in international waters. But anyway, the couple soon divorced. It was just months after the birth of their first child named Charlene. It's literally Charlie with an N on the end. Not Charlene, it's Charlene. Fucking hilarious. Obviously named after Dad. She had many health issues at birth, which Carrie blamed on Charles boozing.
Huh?
Yeah, they were mainly... She was described as slow.
The child had issues at birth.
Yeah, and she blamed it on Dad Charlie's drinking. But
he had drunk sperm?
Yeah, I guess. Which made her daughter, quote, slow. I know that's not the right term now, but that's what I read. Whatever.
You know, we can refer to the rest of her family as nutters, but as soon as the child starts showing any of the signs of any of the mental health issues that are genetic in her past, we have to be slow.
Yeah. So,
and it's obviously the alcohol, because it can't be that the mom's the Queen of England, her sister's a weather vane, and her brother walks around like the fucking
cousin on all fours. But
I use my words correctly. It was brother.
Brother, cousin. Brother, cousin, uncle, daddy.
I use my words right.
Admittedly, it wasn't obviously because of the history of mental illness in the family. It was obviously because Dad was a drinker. Carrie moved back in with her parents and became a mother, as well as starting to get into helping her mom with the boarding business. So she got back into kind of like helping run boarding homes.
Look at that, the princess is here.
Yeah, right? Fucking, can you imagine trying to run a boarding business with the quote Queen of England? I think she was more just emptying bedpans and shit. All the stuff she'd learned from their slaves earlier, probably.
And maybe, dealing with, bedside manner and shit like that she learned as being a nurse.
But. Yeah, because I don't think the queen has any bedside manner.
No. Off with the head!
Let him eat cake. Anyway, And she was also looking into the temperance movement, which, you know, that's a reasonable pursuit. Charles Gloyd died due to his drinking later that year in 1869.
Well, and, you know, honestly, if looking into the Prohibition movement, because your husband is a raging alcoholic that was so bad that you had to leave them, that might,
that
you
makes
know,
sense.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay, it's just a very severe form of AA.
Well, I don't want to see how Charlie Gloyd died, but they just it was always referenced as due to his drinking, so he could have been just, like, drunk and fell over in the street in front of a carriage or something. It didn't really say. Maybe it was cirrhosis. I don't know. He died because of drinking. Carrie stayed at her parents' place while building a small home using her former husband's remaining money. She also moved Mother Gloyd, in quotes, so Charlie's mom, her former, like, you divorce the guy and then bring the mother-in-law, former mother-in-law, I guess, at that point, in once he
dies.
Well,
wait, she actually divorced him?
Yeah, they got divorced, and then he died the next year.
Well, then how'd she get his money?
I don't know. It's the 1860s, man. I'm sure divorce law was not nailed down very well then.
Hmm.
Maybe the lawyers didn't have time to change the beneficiaries. That's a possibility.
Maybe she just took his shit.
That's entirely possible, too.
That's probably what happened.
I had to deal with his drunk ass. I'm taking his shit.
I'll take it. Give me that
Petrola. The queen petitioned for her to get his shit. Who knows? Either way, and in 1872, she got a teaching certificate from, get this, the Normal Institute of Warrensburg, Missouri. All right. A, I don't want a degree from the absolutely average Normal Institute.
Yeah.
Second of all, like, I just, what, was there a person named Normal? What the fuck is going on? Everything's totally normal. Don't worry. There's no weather vanes or bears in the family.
Well, maybe the word institute led one to think it was a loony bin. So they put normal on it to be like, no, we're not like
totally
that.
Totally normalizing something. Yeah. We're done.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
Either way, she started teaching and not long after quit because she cannot see eye to eye with the school board. So this is a beginning of something you're going to see a lot of, like, Carrie didn't see. By the way,
she's
Carrie.
She's ornery.
Yeah, by the way, Carrie, C-A-R-R-I-E is her name at this point in time, although Dad, being mildly illiterate, wrote it with C-A-R-R-Y in the family Bible and the family tree, but it is C-A-R-R-I-E at this point in time. We'll change that later. 1874, she marries a second time. This is to David A. Nation, who is a Facebook hint. He was 19 years older than her. But he was a journalist slash lawyer slash preacher slash father. The couple fought frequently enough to be noted, but it doesn't seem to be frightening. Like, it didn't sound like she was beaten or anything, but they fought. Like, the neighbors, like, they yell all the time. But, so let's, he was a journalist, lawyer, preacher, I mean, and father, but like, aren't journalist, lawyer, and preacher, like, isn't that conflict of interest?
Seems very mutually exclusive.
Yeah.
In there.
Yeah. Like, you really should be only one of those three.
Yeah.
Like, unless, if you're a unless lawyer. Unless it's all based on the whole preacher thing. You're look at the Westboro Baptist Church. They're all fucking lawyers.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
And as long as they put out a religious newspaper, they're journalists.
Well, and the Scientologists are all fucking actors.
And personality test givers.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, so.
And waiting science. For an alien.
Yeah.
So.
And again, God's an alien, so fuck it, whatever. There's a man up there somewhere, and he's going. He created me.
So another thing I wanted to note was that her husband's name was David A. Nation. Her name is Carrie A. Nation. So, like, it's C and D A. Nation, which is kind of an interesting, fun little name thing that I ran across. The family, including Mother Gloyd, still living with them, now with the new husband. Like, this is your ex-husband, your deceased ex-husband's mother.
Yeah.
And we got to take her with us.
I don't know. I can't. That's not too crazy.
Well, Mother Gloyd at least wasn't the Queen of England. At least she sounded like she might have been a mildly stable person.
Which might be the reason why Carrie retained her.
That could be it.
Yeah.
So they moved to Texas, where David failed at yet a business. Then another town, and another failed business. Then they eventually got to Columbia. I think it was Columbia, Texas, but I didn't quite find out. Where Carrie opened a boarding house that worked out for a little while, but eventually they landed in Medicine Lodge, Kansas. Some say that David's political activity got his life threatened. So this is the run out of town with pitchforks and shit. Like, his business behavior and his arguing against the government and the policies made him a very, very disliked person, and they straight did, like, middle of the dark of night, run out of the town because, wow. Yeah.
So he got antifa'd.
You could say that.
Wow. Wow.
That's not an incorrect definition. There's some nuances that aren't quite there, but yeah.
He's like that. Anti-government and running a business.
True. Well,
yeah, that's well, like that. Yeah, you're,
well, to, you're, be certain, to be certain, he wasn't running a business. He was failing business after business.
Yeah.
Like, the only thing that made them any money was the fact that Carrie could run a boarding house because she learned how to empty chamber pots or whatever.
Well, let's be realistic here. What do you expect in a boarding house?
Not much.
A bed and a pot to piss in.
Yeah, a really shit Airbnb. So yeah, I mean, this all makes kind of some sense, I guess. But David became a preacher, later returning to the multiple lines of work and being a Mason as well. So the Freemasons. Now, that's going to come up in a little bit. The Freemasons, make note. And Carrie started a branch of the Women's Christian Temperance Movement. The WCTM is what it's frequently referred to as. This is also when she started using the name Carrie with a Y, because she was carrying a nation. And this became a catchphrase, right? Mm-hmm. For her as she moved along. While she was doing that, she was also caring for... Now, so she had that Charlene daughter, right? And then David had brought a daughter to the marriage, so she had two girls, as well as working toward the suffrage movement. So that's a decent pursuit, the suffrage movement. She also got tossed from the local Christian church and became a Baptist. So she was noted for being vociferous, to say the least. Like, she would get in front of things and yell at people so much that they finally went, "Carrie, just fuck off, please." Yeah. And that when you get kicked out of the church, you might quit proselytizing at the fucking church, right?
Well,
is it just me?
That tends to be the kind of thing that people do anyway. It's everybody goes into a situation and says, "Hey, I know better," and then they scream at the top of their lungs and they beat their chest like a fucking gorilla, and then they get kicked out.
Well, that happens in many groups, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, that's how we get different sets of religion.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's true.
Through that. That's
it's through their defined differences.
Yeah, that's how we got, like, David Koresh, you know.
Yeah, it's true. We did. That's how the Davidians came around, is they got tossed out of another group, yeah. So I guess that's all right. But, I mean, still.
The Catholics, everything else.
it was curious to me that it was written in a number of different places that she got tossed from the Christian church and became a Baptist. But last time I checked, the Baptists are still Christians. But anyway, so she formed a group called the Home Defenders. And in December of 1894, or 1899, the timeline is a bit fuzzy here, it depends on what timeline you're reading, they raided a pharmacy that was selling booze. Now, booze in Kansas at the time, remember they're in Medicine Lodge, was, like, Kansas was under prohibition, so booze was illegal in Kansas. But not federally at the time in the United States, and pharmacies could sell it as medicine. I mean, because that's essentially, back then, that's what booze was. It was like whiskey and...
Laudanum.
Yeah, whiskey and heroin or whatever. Whiskey and cocaine. And, like, these were what was the things that were going to cure you.
Take two of these, and you'll feel fine.
Well, yeah. Fuck yeah, you will. So it was technically illegal. But the doctors could write prescriptions for it all fucking day long. So they're telling, you know, here's your half gallon of fucking medicine.
Right.
Thanks for my bourbon. And off they go.
Well, I think there's always been a medical exemption for booze. I think even during Prohibition, they could do that.
I once heard about somebody not too distant past,
I mean, I could be wrong,
you know, like,
but
15 years ago, who was dying of, like, cirrhosis of the liver but had such a severe addiction that they brought him hospital-labeled prescription alcohol to keep him from going into...
No, that happens.
Yeah.
That, what's it called?
Detox.
I clearly don't know.
Delirium tremens.
Yeah.
Delirium tremens.
Yeah. So... So that is still a thing, but so Carrie didn't see this like that. She saw it pretty much as a pharmacist just running a bar. She led the group, demanding to look at the pharmacist's stuff, and declared while pointing at a keg, "Women, this is whiskey!" They rolled the keg into the streets and smashed it, and then set it ablaze.
So, and the menfolk cried.
Well, I think a lot of the town cried. I don't think it's just the menfolk.
Yeah.
Like, the women folk, like, he ain't gonna be drunk enough to go to sleep, man. I gotta fuck him tonight.
Whoa.
I know. It's a weird angle to look at it from, right? But...
I've got to deal with him when he can't get it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because now he's
angry, too.
Rick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't think the town's real happy. But either way, this is the beginning of her kind of tirades. She's, what, the late 20s or something now? Early 30s? So... Also, during this time, she had been having, quote, visions or, quote, communications with God. So we'll touch back on that mental illness thing again. These told her, perhaps starting at age 10, that she would speak the truth and that booze was bad. This led her to go into a number of taverns because the prohibition laws weren't really recognized. Like, they were there, but taverns were still fucking open. Mm-hmm. And she would start singing hymns. So she'd walk into your bar.
At this point, she was still nonviolent.
Roughly, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, she'd grab it, she'd wheel it out in the street and break it up. But, I mean, she didn't actually make people fear for their safety at this point.
Yeah, she just annoyingly stood in the middle of the bar screaming hymns at the top of her fucking lungs.
And, you know, who wants to deal with that when they're trying to have a drink?
Well, not the Christian church. They threw her the fuck out, right, too.
So basically, it's like riding the A-train in New York.
Not indifferent. Again, another nice parallel. Like
Still got somebody pissing in the corner.
So
this clearly caused nothing but insults, and this may have been why she started, quote, smashing. Now, smashing is the term that she used. Either way, she and her gang of ladies smashed around six more bars during 1900 before going after some bars in Wichita. They went to Wichita to smash a fancy bar in Hotel Carey. How many spellings can Carey can I get, by the way? This is Carey. It is said that here is when she was first handed a hatchet for her destruction. Up until then, she'd been kind of carrying a bat.
And rocks.
Bricks. She carried bricks and threw rocks and bricks through windows.
It's got to be kind of an opposing sight. You've got a six-foot woman weighing 175 pounds in black, with just this menacing look, coming in screaming from a Bible and throwing shit.
Right, and singing hymns real loud. Yeah. I didn't write down her size. It is said in most stories that she was 6 foot or better, mm-hmm, and probably 175, 200 pounds, but not all of them. Someone said she was of normalish stature, so more like the 5'6 to 5'8
range. I thought
we had
pictures of her.
Yeah, but I couldn't find a reference, because, yeah, you had to sit still for photographs.
Nothing in the photograph.
I couldn't find a reference to define how tall she was in any of them. And because I read conflicting reports, I didn't touch on it. But it is said, by most accounts, that she was towering at best. I mean, like, she was not a small woman, and she's a little crazy. So she and her people...
Well, even if she was actually dwarfish, a dwarf with an axe is actually also scary.
Yeah.
Really, it's the axe part.
Yeah, haven't you ever seen Lord of the Rings?
Right. Gimli might be something to be afraid of.
There was another one named Gloin, too. That's pretty close.
Right.
Well, the thing that's, like, kind of interesting is, like, she's sitting there running around, you know, if she goes into the drugstore and smashes up a barrel of whiskey...
And sets it on fire in the streets.
But it's not like alcohol was dirt cheap back then.
No.
A barrel of whiskey represented quite a substantial investment.
Correct.
Okay. And
I'm surprised she made it out of that saloon.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. Well, she had a crew. You know, just like any good gang.
So these guys were...
Well, I'm surprised that the drunks didn't take more offense to it.
Yeah.
And just say,
You're paying for that shit now, you know?
I mean, times are what they are, I guess. And she was technically fighting for the law of the state, as little off base as it was technically fighting for the prohibition laws that were going on against us.
Yeah, I still love the signs that they would put up, though. All nations welcome
except
Carrie.
Except this one, yeah.
All nations welcome except Carrie.
That's something to get behind right there. So they did smash up this hotel carry bar. It is said that they smashed everything from the furnishings to the walls to the windows, the bar, all the booze. It was absolutely bonkers. They crashed everything. And she didn't bring the hatchet. Like, somebody said, here, Carrie, use this. She's like, oh, great fucking idea. And she just started, like, smashing shit with a hatchet.
What does it sound like an Antifa? Right it's, up in yeah. one.
I... Again, it's a parallel that could be drawn. Not going to stand on that one myself, but you guys, I'm willing to kind of support you and your side.
Here, I'm going to push you across to you while the first one's shot.
So, January 26, 1901, she arrives in Topeka, Kansas, which is the capital of Kansas. She's headed for a well-known bar called the Senate Saloon. Just so happens that the Kansas State Temperance Union was meeting in the town, as was the state Senate, and guess where the senators drank? Maybe at a bar called the Senate Saloon. Maybe.
The Senate.
I mean, there's a lot of pieces falling in line here. I don't think this was fucking accidental. I think this is just showing up and smashing some Proud Boys or something. But whatever, just to continue with your little parallel. So first, she met with Governor William Stanley, that dude that gave us a quote earlier telling her to cool her shit, but not without stopping at a number of illegal bars on the way and talking to the bar owners. She demanded they close their quote-unquote murder shops, which was kind of successful. Like, some of them were like, oh, fuck, Carrie's in town, shut it down.
Yeah.
Back door only, guys. One wife of an owner reportedly hit Carrie in the head with a broomstick. Carrie was chill and responded by picking up her bonnet while being further insulted. So the governor finally gave her the hem and haw a bit and sent her to the state's attorney general. He's like, I can't really do anything. I'm the governor. Go to the attorney general. She responded by saying, while pointing to a black eye she had gotten in an earlier raid, so possibly when she got smacked in the face with the broomstick, Governor, you gave me this black eye. I mean, he didn't protect the laws, right. And if he had protected the laws, then she wouldn't have been knocked in the eye with a broomstick by some bar owner's wife. Either way, he eventually responded with the, you're a woman, but a woman must know a woman's place thing, right? So, she had been recognized as she'd entered in the town, and because she developed such a following. People in Kansas were starting to get to know who she was. So as soon as she got off the train, people were like, woo, check it out. Let's go watch Carrie smash and hatch at a place. So this crowd just started following her around, right? As she's visiting all these bars, as she's going to visit the governor, there's just this
swarming crowd. So you get a bunch of crazy people that are willing to go out and destroy shit. You might have people want to follow them around and spectate and ride their coattails and destroy shit too.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah. So now you've got the.
What does that sound like again?
It sounds like
that sounds like something.
It might be the paparazzi following a group that you guys might have supported or not supported, depending.
This is like.
I know. It's a good thing none of this shit ever happens in today's world, right?
Yeah, no, we don't have anything like that now.
Nothing like this at all.
No.
We got rid of all of this. Nothing like it at all. So, she was recognized, as I said, and since her meeting with the governor didn't do much at well at all. Yeah, okay, anything is fair. She did eventually plan to finish out by storming the Senate Saloon. As they stormed the saloon, and a number of other town booze joints that had not stayed closed after almost a week later. They said Gary was in town, they shut down, but they're like, you know, this, I can't lose this much money.
Yeah, but you stand to lose so much more when she comes and destroys everything.
Right, but they were hoping maybe...
She can't stay here forever. She's going to have another mission somewhere. The crazy always moves on.
Yeah. Yeah.
The crazy always moves on.
Yeah, it's a good disease. It just eventually passes on to somebody else. But not soon enough. After destroying a handful of bars, she was arrested for destroying one of the bars. I couldn't figure out exactly which one. I'm guessing it might be the senator.
Well, she did spend some time in jail for going after the hotel carry.
Mm-hmm. Very brief, though, like a couple days.
In Topeka, she was jailed for wrecking the saloon.
Again, a couple days. Yeah. She was
Kansas
arrested
City.
February 1st in Topeka for all this smashing that she was doing.
Mm-hmm.
April 1st, she was jailed in Kansas City for similar behavior. And it said that this is when the Hearst production or publications, so you know the Hearst family publications, assigned a journalist to just follow Carrie around and report on whatever next batty move she was going to make. So they've gone, this is enough of a story. Just get on every train she's on. Just find out what's happening.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good fucking story. When you get a dedicated reporter, you might be off your crock.
Well, it's kind of, you know, let's just go to Vietnam, where they post a reporter, a journalist, quote-unquote, in the midst of a platoon and say, okay, tell us what's happening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that was kind of different.
Well, it's one of those things where there you now have a dedicated reporter because there's something so newsworthy, something so interesting to people, something that you need to be able to get some news on. There you go.
Well, that was that. In a war, it's a little bit different because the military, especially in Vietnam, invited them in.
Oh well, yeah.
Oh well, somebody had to show them that we were doing the right, quote unquote, right thing. Sorry, I missed my quotes. So, this is also when she refused to give up the fight and return home. So David Nations filed for divorce on grounds of desertion.
Yeah, you're a deserter. Probably the smartest move he ever made was to distance himself.
She's a fucking AWOL wife at this point in time.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's totally fair.
Right.
I don't fault anybody for that, like, you know.
But you're AWOL because you're smashing bars and pubs throughout Kansas.
But doesn't this sound like probably the easiest way for him to get away,
right,
get distance himself from crazy?
Well, yeah, right. She's nutters anyhow. Yeah. Look at this. She won't show up home.
Right. Well, I mean, because like,
and let me keep all my shit, please, because we saw what happened the last time.
Right.
If you try and divorce somebody because they're crazy, that brings shit back on you.
Irreconcilable differences.
If you try and
desertion.
If you try and divorce them for something that's demonstrably provable and a little bit less personally threatening to them, maybe they will just go away.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I mean, or not come home. As the case may be.
That's what you want to do.
And you two, with the microphones. So you guys have forgotten to use the microphones in a week.
What?
Oh,
both
off.
Of you have bumped the microphone
piss
so many
off.
Times, it's hilarious.
Oh, please.
So while she's in jail, like any other activist that ends up in jail, she does what?
Writes a manifesto.
Correct. Almost word for word what I just wrote.
Mm-hmm.
Hers came in the form of a newspaper / newsletter called The Smasher's Mail, which is a Facebook hint also. It's a catchy title. I mean, I like it. Smasher's Mail. It may not necessarily address her platform.
So she's publishing
this and
mailing it out?
You might think it's about baseball or something. Uh-huh.
Wow.
Yeah. She's got her own zine, buddy.
That's pretty liberal prison stuff for back then.
Right?
Wow, that's kind of crazy.
Well, she's just in jail. She's not in prison.
Yeah, she's probably like in women's,
like
women's jail back then was probably not really that.
Yeah, you stay down the street at the Jones house and don't fucking leave.
Yeah. That's probably what it was. Yeah. Please.
So she had finally gotten tired.
House arrest. Try to get this bitch to cook her clean.
Well, I mean, she had training.
Doesn't mean she's going to do it.
Yeah. Right? No, all she does is destroy shit at this point in time.
Yeah, I would put her in a room where there's definitely not a hatchet, and there's nothing that she can fucking get loose on.
You can't have a room in this time period without having a hatchet. You got to have firewood, buddy. There's an axe in every living room. That's why there were all those axe murders back then.
Are you sure you want her to have fire?
No, I don't. I see, like, heaven forbid you walk near my goddamn bourbon.
Yeah, not marriage material applies here.
Yeah.
You know? Oh, fuck. I could only imagine what she'd be like at our house.
Our houses. She's smashing the recorder right now.
Yeah. Well, it's actually kind of fun to... Actually, that would add
some
spice to the
broadcast.
Why do I
feel like there's a ghost right here?
Yeah.
There's a ghost of a 6-foot woman with a hatchet and a Bible behind us going, yeah.
She'd be splitting our bald heads like overripe watermelons.
Which means my head stays intact. The hair's holding it together. But she probably hated mustaches. Also of note, she was fighting for temperance as well. Mm-hmm. It wasn't just fighting against alcohol. It was for temperance. And she was fighting against fraternal organizations all along. So, remember her first husband, the drunk guy, was in the Masons? She hated the Masons.
Yeah. Any boys club.
Hated, yeah.
Boys club.
Like, anywhere there's club chairs and whiskey glasses, she was just not into it at all.
She just had a basic problem. She had a basic case of misandry, actually.
Mm.
I mean, Yeah. Come on.
Yeah, I like that assessment. So, because she'd gotten kind of tired of smashing shit all the time, she gave up that part of the fight. She was going to focus on her writing and lecturing.
I'm putting down my axe. I'm focusing more on my artistic side.
Again, I'm glad.
She went on lecture circuit.
I'm very glad there's no modern parallels to this.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I've never heard of that.
Nope, doesn't happen.
Nope, Bill Ayers.
So, alas, that did not pay very well. So she started selling lapel pins in the shape of a hatchet, as well as photos of herself where she stood with a Bible in one hand and a hatchet in the other.
I am now imagining what the collectability of a Carrie Hatchet...
$85 on Etsy.
No, Etsy an vintage. OG one?
That's what it said.
OG. No, not on Etsy. That's like remake. No.
Etsy has a vintage category.
So a genuine Carrie Nations
pin.
We
can get a genuine Carrie Nations pewter pin for like $85.
I don't believe that. I don't believe a word of that. No, come on. That's got to be worth way more than I'm thinking like $1,500.
I was surprised myself. But like $80-some.
All right, John, can you bring this up? I got to see.
They weren't that crazy expensive.
1900 to 1910, mother of pearl, antique Carrie A. Nation hatchet axe pin. $64.99.
Let me see a picture of this thing.
$64.99.
Okay, it's a kind of shitty pin.
Agreed.
Yeah.
Agreed. But it's not indifferent to what you'd get if you joined the Shriners or the Masons.
are you fucking kidding me? The Masons have, like, some excellent stuff.
No, I don't think a fez is excellent stuff.
No, they have some really shitty stuff, but like a eyeball pyramid thing? Jesus, that thing's beautiful.
God. Have you seen some of the aprons they have? Those Masons, oh my God, those aprons are fucking...
Do you know how much those aprons go for?
Oh, shit.
Those are thousands of dollars for those things.
Easily.
It's insane. Insane.
To be certain, clan robes aren't apparently cheap either.
Oh, no, those are pretty cheap, actually. Those are...
Okay, now here's ones that you would actually like. There's Vintage Prohibition Hatchet Pair, All Nations Welcome But Carrie.
I don't believe that.
So these are anti-Carrie Nation pins.
Those are $199.
Yeah.
Those are fake. I don't believe it.
So, I don't know. Either way,
Well, you're going to see me with a Carrie Nation pin pretty soon.
I did find some cheap repros, and I almost wanted one. But yeah, you could get one. It would be awesome if you did. I'd love to see it. But she was selling them for a couple bucks a piece, which back then was a decent grip of dough.
That was a fair amount of money.
Yeah, like she was making some money, and they were just like,
you could probably drink all night for $2.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Drink all week for
$2.
You
could buy four more hatchet heads.
I think that was her problem there. She was overpricing them compared to the booze.
Well, and again, pictures of herself.
Oh, that's
mail away for a celebrity signature situation right there, right?
Oh, pictures of... What? Oh, please, no, no. An original Carrie Nation picture? That's not Farrah Fawcett.
No. No. No, it is not. If you look up what this woman looked like, you are fucking A-right. It is no Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
This was... I'm surprised she got married twice. But we do know that she did only birth one child, and I might understand why. She's nutters and not particularly...
He had to be drunk to sleep with her.
By my standards, not particularly attractive.
I don't know. I'll bet she was really dirty. I could see it.
I don't think she took it in the ass.
I don't know. Well,
are you sure you want to give it in the ass back then?
Maybe she gave it in the ass. Maybe she invented the strap-on. That seems a little more her ilk.
That'd make a better pen.
It would make a better pen. All nations welcome except Gary. So she also started touring a live show called Hatchetations.
Yep. Hatchetations?
I know. Yep. It sounds like a greeting.
Like, Hatchetations?
Good to see you. Hatchetations.
No, it sounds like a spinoff from Judas Priest. What the hell is Hatchetations?
Their 15th unsuccessful album.
Yeah.
Singing their hit song, Bustin' the Barrel.
Bust it and burn it.
Yeah.
In the street. Yeah.
In her WCTU, or Women's Temperance Christian Union thing that she did, I can just see it opening it up. Hatchetations, everyone!
Greetings and hatchetations. So it was a production where she would smash up a fake bar on stage. So they'd bring in fake kegs of liquor and a fake bar and a fake bar stools.
So she's Gallagher.
Yes.
That sounds like it doesn't work as well.
I wasn't
going to
say that reference, and oddly, that was a reference that the dollop used, was like, so she's Gallagher. Yeah, she is. You know, like, splash range. And she just, like, took a hatchet
that
and
just doesn't
bashed it up
seem
on stage.
Like it's quite the same.
You know, this one would be a little more like Carrot Top than Gallagher, in my opinion.
Yeah.
You're using stage props and nobody likes you.
Yeah, it's a real step down. That's really slumming. Man, that's like just... Jesus, that's like a reunion tour. It's just so depressing.
It is. It's pretty sad. It's like Shay's final
years. It's the fourth reunion tour.
Yeah. After they said the final reunion tour, this is like,
because the drummer
this is
has
the
liver
Eagles
cancer.
Freezes over.
We
got to
get money together.
That's exactly what I was
this
thinking.
This is Hell Freezes Over.
Yeah.
So eventually, these selling little hatchet pins and the hatchetation shows and shit got her enough money to purchase another small home in Kansas City, which she ran as sort of a halfway house for the wives of drinkers. So she's back to her boarding house abilities, right? And doing lectures and shit, but she's only housing, women who left their drunk husbands.
Well, and this
so
one
wasn't
I can
known
almost
as
kind
a
of get
fun
behind.
House.
No, probably not.
This
no.
one I can almost get behind, if you think about it.
If
a woman is, you know, if somebody's suffering from...
Petered and battered woman's home kind of thing,
come on in. You know, we'll take care of you. And... You know, you get the Union Gospel Missions, you get, you know, hey, we'll feed you, just got to deal with the whole sermon thing.
Yeah, and I'm kind of into that. I mean, it makes a little bit of sense. And at least she's trying to do some good instead of just smashing shit up now, but still.
Help people put things back and, you know, put their lives back together rather than, you know, perpetuating a problem.
So in 1905, she published her autobiography. It's called The Use and Need of the Life of Carrie A. Nation. Now, that's not fucking pretentious.
That's a little...
Use and Need of?
Yeah.
It's the life. Well, I can see that, like, that use being in a Christian sense. Like, God is using me to do this. That's...
Or that her life and service was of use to the belief system of the country, right? I mean, I understand her wording. It's still fucking pretentious as shit.
Well, of course. I mean, when in September of 01, when McKinley was assassinated, she was jumping up and down for joy because she thought he was a drinker.
Do you have the actual quote? Because there was an actual quote about this that I didn't write down. But it was something like, God bless that drunken devil man or some shit like that. It was hilarious. You don't say that when a fucking president is assassinated. I'm sorry, lady. You're just not doing it right. If you come up with it, give me a shot. I'll quit talking for a moment. So she ended up in Europe doing a tour of her hatchetations.
Where all these like half-assed reunion tours wind up. What's next, Japan?
Well, yeah, and the Europeans have always practiced prohibition, right?
Yeah.
I don't think the European nations... They don't stop drinking. Let's have four glasses of wine and a siesta is a thing in Europe.
Yeah, you're big in Japan now.
Right, exactly.
Everybody knows.
Japan
is a dishpan.
So, I mean, this tour did okay. At least she was drawing a crowd until she was hit in the head by an egg. This caused her to cancel her remaining dates and return to the States. Now, if this worked...
What the fuck? Is she Morrissey or something? An egg?
I'm saying, if this worked nowadays, there'd be some Australian politicians who were no longer on the fucking ticket because they got hit in the head with an egg. I don't know if you caught the story, but there was recently, like the last month or two, some Australian politician was speaking against climate change, and some climate change person, like, this is fucking science unreal, got tired of it, threw an egg at the politician's head, bashed the egg on their head. So... If this worked for everybody else, we wouldn't have that politician anymore. That
yeah, but, you know, when our president has a shoe thrown on him, he just does that Matrix shit and goes to the side.
That was the only time he's fast.
That was beautiful.
And I'll just say that whoever threw that, she was not the mother of a Latino family because she didn't fucking hit him. But, anyhow.
Wow, did you just say that?
Yeah. It's notorious in that culture. Like, you're throwing shoes.
They're just good at baseball.
They're really good
at baseball. They're just really good at baseball.
Dude, all right, so you remember that, like, bottle cap challenge where you, like, kick the... Like, Jason Statham did it. You kick the bottle cap and you spin it off the top of the water bottle. There's a video of some Latin American grandmother throwing a shoe and doing it. Like, fucking accuracy, yo. You practice enough. You could have hit the president. Either way, an egg drove her out of Europe.
Okay, all right. That was uncomfortable, man.
Do you want to watch the video? Do you want to see how uncomfortable?
That was really uncomfortable. No, I don't think that Latinos have innate shoe-throwing ability. What the fuck is wrong with you? Jesus.
God. I think we've got a severe role reversal going on here today.
It's just like, what the fuck was that? I mean, it just like rolled out of your mouth like it's like la-di-da.
It was supposed to be there to begin with.
I know. It was just crazy. Yeah. It was just like,
here, let me just whip this out and slam it on the table.
Yeah. Jews are good with money. Don't you guys know this? You know, I mean, like, what the fuck? This is crazy.
Latinos throw shoes. Jews are good with money. What's the next one, Tyler? Come on.
Over the years, she'd been beaten up many times by angry people, clearly. Like, we mentioned the broomstick black eye thing. But in 1910, a female saloon owner in Montana beat the living snot out of
her. Well, that's your problem. She went to Montana.
Yeah, don't...
All of
a
sudden, we've got, like, the beginning of the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah. They beat the living snot out of her. She never fully recovered.
Yeah, she probably never went back to Montana, did she?
No, because that was 1910, late in 1910.
John's from Montana, in case you guys didn't know.
Yeah, January 11th, 1911.
How did she get to Montana from Kansas?
A gilded carriage that she borrowed from the Queen of England.
Jesus, like, but that's like a that's like a saga, you know? I mean,
well, you know, she made it to Europe. And right? She left from an egg, okay? An egg.
And she made
it back.
Put you
back on a boat for 3 months.
That's so weak. It's so weak. You're running around with a hatchet and an egg takes you out. Lemmy wouldn't have taken that shit.
No, Lemmy would not have taken it.
Lemmy would have been like, right, let's go. Let's keep going.
There'd been a broken Rickenbacker involved.
Yeah.
Or Henry Rollins would have just reached down, picked the egg up, and eaten it.
Yeah.
Right? And then sat down on the stage and had a long political conversation with you.
Yeah.
Henry Rollins would have eaten the shell, too.
Yeah. He would have.
Yeah, crunched on it. Crunch, in the microphone. Crunch, yes.
God, fuck yeah. So
Morrissey
is not to come up
here. He would have just cried. As he ate the egg.
And canceled all remaining shows. Yes.
So there we go. Kerry Nations is Morrissey.
Kerry Nations is Morrissey at this point. Dish it out, but can't take it. And if you have a... Do you have a Morrissey record in there?
I have one cassette.
And it's probably the Smiths.
One Morrissey one and one Smiths one.
Oh.
That is so shameful.
Well, Every Day's Like Sunday is on one of them, and Girlfriend in a Coma is on the other one, and so I bought whole cassettes for two songs that I never listened to anymore. But anyway.
Okay, that was good. You redeemed yourself a little bit.
Thank
there.
You.
Because Jesus.
I can put it on if you want.
No, let's not all grow vaginas here.
Actually, I do have a whole box of razor blades. We could do this. Oh, anyway, so January 11th, 1911, she collapsed on stage while speaking.
They just keep coming.
I know.
It's so she was...
Now he's promoting cutting.
I know. It's just so ridiculous. Jesus Christ, you're just like the token Klansman, aren't you?
Well, I already talked about how much the robes cost.
Jesus.
So, anyway, she was admitted to the hospital and died June 2nd. So, January 11th to June 2nd is a long time in the hospital, in case nobody noticed.
Especially those hospitals.
Yeah.
They probably kept her around as long as they could.
Well, they'd moved
Here, up, suffer, bitch.
They'd moved up from the Civil War bone saw, at least.
I don't know.
Not by much. 1901?
A little bit. 1911.
Still?
Give us another decade. Come on, man. Lots of progress.
They had blimps back then.
not for long.
They thought that a blimp was a good idea. Still.
So, the cause of death was officially noted as paresis, a mental condition often associated with syphilis and causing deeper mental health issues. So, let's run back to the beginning and some of the genetic disposition of maybe having some mental illness in the family.
Yeah.
And then you get paresis through syphilis, which also drives you mad.
Mm.
She could be batty. She could be not all together, right?
Yeah, think.
Yeah.
Think.
It could account for some of the violent outbursts and behavior is even starting with the screaming of hymns at the top of your lung in the middle of the saloon, right? She was buried in the family plot and with the epitaph.
Which family?
Oh, hers, the Moore family.
Okay.
The Moore family.
Yeah, because the other two wouldn't take her.
Well, I don't know.
Even though she carted around Grandma Goyter forever.
She took care of Mama Goyter forever, yeah. Anyway.
Do you think that this lady would be like, finally, I'm done with this woman?
Yeah, well, she had to go back to people she knew that might be weather vanes and bears and the Queen of England and shit. Well, whatever. So, the epitaph said, she hath done what she could. She never actually lived to see federal prohibition laws in America, which took place from 1919 to 1933, so 8 years.
8 years later.
After she died.
Wow. Man, burn.
Right? That's kind of a, oh, I kind of feel sorry for you right now.
Yeah.
Like, I wish you could at least on your deathbed see that shit, because you clearly did some really whack stuff to get us here. But... Yeah, so she never lived to see the actual prohibition years or the federal prohibition years. And it took till, I think, the mid-50s till Kansas repealed their prohibition laws. So, like, Kansas stayed in that for a long time. I'm sure they still had, like, the Senator Saloon and shit after a couple of repairs. But that's kind of the end of Miss Carrie A. Nation.
I don't know. She, like... Those laws, like, kind of persisted in a lot of states in various levels of degree.
Well, yeah, quite a while. We've got Monmouth here, still a dry town, I believe.
No,
here in Oregon,
not anymore.
Did it finally change over? Yeah. It can't be more than a decade ago, though.
No, it's not.
You had, I think, you had blue laws in some states up until the 90s.
Yeah.
Well, for the longest time, you couldn't buy on Sundays here.
Mm-hmm.
When did that end? I'm really curious.
About the time this podcast started.
No. There's only a couple.
It's only select stores, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I moved here in basically 89, 90, and I've never seen blue laws here. But yeah. So I know they must have ended sooner than that.
Well, yeah, they've been here. When I first moved to this town, we couldn't buy blues on Sunday. I know I couldn't buy...
Well, by booze, I mean any alcohol.
Hard liquor. No. Hard liquor. Oh, so okay. The liquor stores themselves were closed.
Yeah, sure.
But you could buy beer and wine coolers and stuff like that on Sundays at the, you know, your
grocery
stores.
Store. Yeah.
And just recently, they've put a liquor store inside of a grocery store.
Oh, I thought that's just still illegal here.
It's just over off of 6th Street, baby.
Is that right? I thought that was still illegal
Apple Market. That has a liquor store inside of it.
At the Apple Market?
Yes.
The one in Homelessville? Holy shit.
Well, Jesus. Why do you think?
Jesus Christ. Yeah. No, because, like, here, I know that they changed the law that hard liquor stores, because we have state-owned liquor stores here, mm-hmm. Hard liquor stores were allowed to sell liquor on Sunday only starting, like, 7 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
It's been very long.
Yeah,
it's been very recently, and few do it, actually. Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, if you got, I don't know, I'd say like maybe 30% do it, 20% do it. Stay closed.
Well, the ones in Springfield don't. The one just down the street from you does.
Yeah, the one that I could walk to does, which is nice.
Yeah,
I will give him that.
It's like the Lord is shining upon me, man.
Yeah, you can walk to everything.
And there's
nobody
with a hatchet in my liquor store. There's just people giving tastings out all the time. So that's handy. I like that.
Well, now you have the people out front.
Are there people out front? Oh, the campers.
Yeah,
we do have the...
Well, they had to move across the street.
The temporary tent housing facility.
They had to move across the street.
Well, yeah, you got to move a certain number of yards with your signs before you're...
Well,
you're,
no. They've been roped off now where they were, and now they're on the same... They're on the sidewalk of the liquor store.
This makes me want to get drunk and go drive through a tent city. But anyway...
Don't. There's two cops that are posted down there.
That is the last of my poor-ass commentary for this weekend, or at least for this episode. So, Carrie Nations... As I said, I've heard podcasts on it and re-listened to a couple of them. She's always been a fucking point of fascination for me. It was a little bit deeper dive into her mental health than I had ever gone down before, and I really do think that there was some issues in that arena that clearly couldn't have been prevented, but might could have been addressed at least. I don't know if she's a fucking comic book hero or supervillain, but why is there not a fucking movie? Why? When you come from a family born of a weather vane, a bear, and a goddamn queen, and you smash up bars, why have we not made this a movie? Not to mention, as we said a number of times, I'm glad to see that none of this ever happens in the world today. So, yeah, Carrie, she was fun.
And thank God she's done. You know, there's people out there that still... The methods are the same, but thank God the message isn't. Because I would have a problem with anybody running into a bar when I'm in it, trying to break the fucker up with a hatchet.
Mm-hmm.
And try to get away with any of that kind of crap today. You come swinging a hatchet anywhere, and just the way that her family was raised, how many people would take one look at that and call up CPS and call up, you know, hey, you got somebody thinking they're a weather vane, you've got the Queen of England, and you've got Bear Boy, okay?
And the daughter has to live with the slaves.
So, well, the daughter lives in a shack outside, okay?
Crazy.
They would probably, your neighbors, at least in this town, would, because they'll call you if you don't handle your dog right.
Yeah, my neighbors don't like my dog.
You know, so that in this day and age is how much of it still stays and how much of it has changed. And I'm thinking that, you know, the violence aspect, that's kind of still there. Thank God at least that, you know, the mental health issues, you know, at least we're going to call somebody for them. But yeah, thank God that Carrie Nations is like well over a decade, you know, a century ago.
Not much well over.
Oh, I don't know.
1911?
110 years?
1911 when she died?
Yeah, 110 years, basically.
Yeah, okay, not... It's barely over.
108 years? Sorry.
Either way.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bye, Carrie. Thank you.
All right, so I try and contextualize this. All right?
Oh, fuck, here
and so speaking with that mode of trying to contextualize this... I look at this in a number of ways. First of all, I think one thing that we have difficulty appreciating is the level, and I'm saying this as somebody who has like a lot of experience with alcoholism in the family, the level of drinking back then among adult males
mm-hmm.
was roughly approximate to essentially every male reaching 15 or 16 year old boys and drinking like a frat house for the rest of their life.
Roughly a quart to a fifth of hard alcohol yeah. every day.
So essentially, look at it this way, like every male back then was drinking a bottle of Jack Daniels every goddamn day. At least.
And it wasn't regulated the way it is now.
And it wasn't. And this means, like, they could be drinking this kind of drinking while on the job. It was, like, a totally different thing. The amount of alcoholism back then was totally different. The amount of violence against your spouse was a totally different thing. You know?
Yeah.
It was probably tolerated a hell of a lot more then.
It definitely was, unfortunately. Unfortunately.
Oh, yes. That's the Tyler we know.
There we go. Here comes the virtue signaling. Off with the clan robes. I'm virtue man. Yeah.
Just unzips and makes it a cape.
So that's one aspect of this that you have to take into account. The other thing you have to take into account is the level of vigilantism. Back then, there wasn't any federal police force like the FBI. Back then, there was only rural police forces. You know, a lot of times they could be corrupt. You know, this drunk guy whacking his wife was friends.
They were drunk too.
You know, friends with the police chief, and there you go. You know, so vigilantism in terms of, you know, less developed societies is a quite common method of law enforcement. If you go down to Latin America, South America, you will find vigilantism is quite recognized, and this is just the way it goes. There's nothing seen wrong with it, and it is actually seen in those areas as primitive to not have vigilantism. In other words, if the citizenry is not enforcing the law, this is seen as primitive to their standards. Like, why aren't you?
Self-regulating.
So her taking this vigilantism into her head is not as wild then as it would be to us now. So, you know, by the spirit of her times, I can see how she gets to where she's at. And I can see why it looks maybe crazier to us now than maybe it did back then, because I'm sure there were plenty of women all pissed off about
this. It clearly
didn't
look as crazy back then, because it was only a handful of times she got bashed in the head. Like, yeah. Nowadays...
Right. Nowadays...
That shit's not going to fly.
Nowadays, it's really weird, because nowadays... We have much more of a concept that it is wrong to beat your wife, it is wrong to hit a woman...
Yeah.
Yet, back then they all resisted this, which is also very curious about the whole thing, because now it is sort of universally acknowledged, like, never hit a woman except, I don't know, maybe Lorena Bobbitt shouldn't have gotten whacked, you know, maybe Carrie Nation, yeah, sure, I'd punch
her. Carrie Nation would have been, she's got a very punchable face.
Yeah, if she came into the bar with an axe, I'd feel no shame in just punching her in the face. It's like, sorry, you're going.
That's what doormen are for, though.
Yeah.
That is the caveat to the never hit a woman thing. It's just, a woman comes at you with a weapon, you're going to defend yourself.
There are people who still argue against that.
Oh.
There are people who still argue against that.
I'm not taking it in the head with a hatchet.
Well, they are women's libbers, man. Like, a proper women's libber knows that we just have general respect on both sides. Nobody goes punching anybody.
Right.
But
so, at any rate, I view Carrie Nation as like a little bit of a dichotomy. Like, I understand her views. When I think about trying to live in those times... With that level of drunkenness, it is horrific to me, because I've lived with it in my own house growing up. And it is absolutely horrific to me, that thought. But at the same time, it's like I can't help but bring my modern-day perspective that vigilantism is just like, nope, you can't go there. And I don't really quite buy this whole thing that, like, it's okay because she was enforcing the laws of the state, because, A, vigilantism, it's not up to you to enforce the laws, but, B, when you have bars openly running, I subscribe to the notion that if you have a law that isn't enforced, that's no longer the law.
Well, it's dogmatic at that point in time.
Well, right? No, it's arbitrary and capricious. It's this legal notion... it's this legal notion that you can't have a law that you don't enforce, because it's not a law anymore if you're not enforcing it. You can't just enforce it whenever the hell you want to.
Marijuana laws around the country.
Boring Oregon. I mean, it was illegal to have sex unless it was for procreation, and for the longest time.
Well, it's boring there. They didn't name the town appropriately.
It's the same thing, though. If you're not going to, if the law of the book's not enforced, then it's no longer a law.
Right. It falls into use. It's pretty much like, essentially, a law is like a trademark. If you don't enforce it, you don't have it. So there you go.